16.
Hold off just a second.
What?
Hold up this month.
Da-da-da.
Lazy bum.
What do you call it?
Lazy bum.
He's still on Hawaii time.
I guess so.
Lazy bum. 12 days.
12 days, that's what you get.
Lazy bum.
Okay, Luke 10. Verse 19.
Church.
Do what?
Complimenting your church. After she called me lazy bum.
You're going to kill her with kindness?
After all the work you've done, right? While you were in Hawaii.
No, he didn't do anything.
My job now.
All right. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We've been studying tread, what it means. And to tread underfoot is a figure of speech for facing the greatest perils that you can imagine and not leaving faith. So, and it's also, it has the connotation of not only don't they bother you, but you kind of treat them with contempt, the trials. They're just nothing. So we're going to tread underfoot. Let's see, let's look at two or three scriptures in Revelation about this. Let's go to Revelation, starting 11. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court that is without the temple, leave out, measure it not. Now, remember, any time the word temple is used in the book of Revelation, it's always nous. Anytime it's used in this, when it's talking about you, you are the temple of God, it's always nous. The word for the temple complex is hieron. But the part of the temple that is the Holy of Holies and the holy place is called the nous. And that's what you are. You are the nous of God. That means within you is complete the figure that was used with regard to the altar of incense, the table of showbread, the golden candlestick, the golden altar, and the Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark, or on the Ark, is the mercy seat. In the ark was Aaron's rod, the pot of manna, and the tables of stone, the Ten Commandments. Now, what does this mean? Listen to what he says. There was a rod, there was given me a rod, a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court that is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. For the holy city shall lay tread 42 months. Now, remember the 42 months is 3.5 years. And it's some kind of a mystery that is the distance or the time between the baptism of Christ and his physical death. And it floats throughout all the scriptures. It's all over the place. 42 months, 3.5 years. And it's the symbolic time from when you believe in Christ to live by the faith of Christ. It's the symbolic time between your apprehension of him as a possibility of being of value to you or some value to the time of your death, that you see your death. You got to see this. When he was baptized, then he caused the sacrifice to cease. He caused the oblation to cease. Why? Because he fulfilled it in type. He fulfilled it in that he was symbolically killed as Son of Man and is buried as Son of Man. And then 3.5 years later, exactly, he was crucified. Now, so this temple that's in the Holy of Holies, I mean in eternity, and the temple in you are the same temple. Now, how can that be? How can each one of us be the temple of the living God, and yet the temple is in eternity? How can that happen?
You got to squint.
What does that mean?
Not look too much right at it. Look through it. It's a mystery.
Because the temple came down from heaven, adorned as a bride, the New Jerusalem. And it's our overriding reality. Remember, in eternity, everything happens at once. So that with a temple down, then God's not concerned with what went on outside the temple, like in the outer, in the brazen altar and all that stuff, because that was already fulfilled in Christ. Now he's only concerned with your apprehension of that which is fulfilled. And what it's fulfilled is your access to the holy place and the Holy of Holies. And you have boldness to enter the throne of grace, if you can hear this, if you can accept your death. Notice, the other parts of the temple aren't even there anymore when he measures them. You're shaking your head yes, but you're understanding what?
Here's what I'm thinking. It's as if we are one, and we are together the grid. Together we contain the temple. We can say individually too, but that's not the end of the picture. So there's something I'm sensing.
Yeah, because there's only one temple, but yet a temple is in you and me and all that confess. In fact, it's in the whole human race. But they don't know it. So again, eternity, you got to hear this. There's no space and there's no time in eternity. So by definition, we're all in the same place. If you can hear that, you can understand what this mystery of God is about. And get time out of the picture and space out of the picture. And we understand the majesty of his completed work. It is so complete that there's nothing left. You're either in it or you're not. You're either the part of the bride or the whore. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. But your mind is what keeps you where you are. If you dwell on earth, you're deceived automatically. No questions asked. And if you dwell on earth, it doesn't matter whether you say, oh, I dwell in heaven. That doesn't matter what you say. It's how you conduct your life. Where the speech comes from. Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if your heart is full of the revelation of Christ, you and him, he and you, and both in God, and all us are one in him, and the piddling crap that goes on in the world is meaningless. Oh, this is what Christians are supposed to do. Oh, this is what they're... Now, believe it or not, this is what I saw on the day I was converted. I saw this oneness, this unity, this lack of time, lack of space. All of time is passing through this temple from west to east. Satan is desiring to shift you as wheat. And the vehicle that he shifts you as wheat is your mind. He has no power. You're the remnants of his power. You're in his mind. Your mind. Your thoughts. Your imaginations that keep you from the fullness of what I'm talking about. Look at another one. Let's go to Revelation 14. Verse 14. This is all about the Lamb. First part, and then this is the harvest. And I looked and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat, like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat in the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time is come. For thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat in the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Now, who can possibly understand that? You can't unless you see that in eternity everything happens at once. So he's treading the winepress. He started treading the winepress from the first death, Abel. All right, let's look at another one. Go to Revelation 19. And we're going to read this thing, because this is 7 verse 1. Now again, chapter 17 of Revelation predicts the fall of Babylon. and it's there so you can see who this whore is. You can see where she is located, and you can see that it's in your mind. And all nations are deceived by her. There's none, there's no nations, just means people, everybody. And the nations of the earth have been made rich with the wine of her fornication. The only way that anybody gets made rich is because of the incessant need for more, self-seeking. So we had the prediction of the destruction in 17. We had the fall of Babylon in 18. Now the important part here is that you have to see that the fall of Babylon has to take place in you. Remember, the three young men, anybody remember their names?
Meshach
and Abednego. They were destroyed or attempted to be destroyed for one reason. That every time the sackbut sounded, everybody was to fall down and worship this idol, Baal. But everybody in all of those kingdoms fell down and worshiped. Now obviously, nobody could, if they were in India, they couldn't see the idol in. So what it had to mean something else. Every time the sackbut sounded, in the context this is, every time you see a need, every time you think you have a need about something, do you go to the Father and wait, or do you return to Babylon? Cause and effect for your solution. The only three out of all of the kingdoms that didn't worship, Babylon wasn't destroyed then, but it showed us something. The only three that didn't worship at the altar of Babylon, at the altar of cause and effect, were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it made the king, and it will always make the king so angry that he threw them in the fiery furnace. And yet another walked with them. And so they were walking in a cool mist in the midst of the fiery furnace. Can you see what that is? The whore is sitting on the seven mountains of your mind. She's been seducing you since the day you were born. There was a period of a few months in which she didn't have the power. That's because you had no awareness of yourself. And self-awareness came in. And she has been using the beast, which is you, masquerading as you, to mold you, to cause you to worship only at her altar. And everything that she provides, all of the aspects of her system of reward and punishment are based on what everything the human race likes, everything the human race esteems. But everything that human race esteems to God is filth. Aren't you tired of worshiping at that altar? Aren't you tired of esteeming the same things the world esteems? You must know you've been deceived. So anyway, Babylon is destroyed. It has to be destroyed first in you, in his people. The judgment must first begin at the house of God. When you finally come to the end of cause and effect, and you can say, I see its incredible evil, because it's greatest, it really at the core, it's the greatest enemy of mercy and faith that there is. Because if I don't know how to do something, I can say, well, God gave it to me. No, he didn't. If I know how to do something, then I don't need faith. I don't need mercy. Because I can lean on my own arm of understanding for self-realization and take pride in that. And it's not that you should take pride or shouldn't, you will. And it's all the wrath of her fornication. So now, Babylon finally is destroyed in you. Now you can hear what Revelation 19 says. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, hallowed salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts. The 24 elders, that's 24 courses of the priesthood. On earth, they represented symbolically what was going on in heaven. And the four beasts represent the four cardinal points of the compass. So it's complete. So the four, when the minute that you can say, I am sick unto death of cause and effect. I'm sick unto death of worshiping the whore. Then those four beasts and the 24 elders fall down and worship. Because it's finished. It's been finished from the foundation of the world, but our rebellion has kept it. Because if you think about it, cause and effect has been the basis of your identity. You tried things, you couldn't do them, then you moved to other things, and you finally found something you thought you could do, and you learned how to do it. Lucky, then pretty soon you were making bricks without straw. Didn't mean anything. But if you're successful at it, you'll never hear this. Because you have to keep on, and you have to keep on, and keep on, and keep on. Until you see the sin of your fornication. Communicating with anybody?
What was that?
I said, am I communicating with anyone?
Yeah.
The 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah. How can we not believe? How can we keep walking in deception when this is set before us? Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. The fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, which is only the righteousness of Christ. You're never right again. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Not foretelling, but forthtelling. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that ride on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that brought miracles before him, which sat with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his name image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brightness. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. He looked, there was no man. He looked throughout all of time, and there was no man. So his own seed got him the victory. And he is treading the winepress alone. That's been going on since the beginning of time. Go to Isaiah 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel and thy garments, like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and was none to help, when I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm, mine own seed, mine own Zeruah brought salvation unto me, and my fury. tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. I'll bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. The problem is that the Israel is not the Israel of the flesh. It's not the Israel whose circumcision is of the flesh. It's the Israel whose circumcision was of the heart and not of the flesh, who no longer need the praise of men. You understand a little bit about treading down?
Well, it's like in that treading, you break, in the parable, the skin of the grape is broken, which is your covering and your protections. And then you're mixed completely with every other grape.
There's no longer self-identity.
And it's blood that's mixed.
Anyway, this is Nick keeps wanting me to study Revelation, to teach on Revelation. And I keep saying, you want me killed, don't you? Maybe it's time to teach in Revelation. It's such a beautiful picture of both the mercy and the vengeance of God, from the beginning to the end. But our stupidity is manifest. And our stupidity comes from the fall, which said, anyway, I forgot. Anybody have any response to any of this?
Nah.
Huh?
Nah. Plenty.
What?
I've been saying it all along. It's like getting your windshield
wiped out. All right.